This is Poetry on the Move. In this episode, a captivating live performance from Japanese poet Hiromi Ito, followed by an interview with Ito during her visit to Australia as part of the Poetry on the Move festival. Since publication of her first collection of poetry in 1978, Hiromi Ito has been one of Japan's most celebrated poets. She has published poems and essays on motherhood and child-rearing, which have become a new literary genre for Japanese women writers. Her poetry and prose on women's lives have been published in The Despair of Women, The Book of Menopause, and A Life of a Woman. Her works on life and death include Dog Heart, Father Lives, Tree Spirits, Glass Spirits, and Thoughts on Harakiri. In her two latest poetry collections, Wild Glass on the Riverbank and New Tales of the Sugamo Pilgrimage, she has created a unique poetic narrative form inspired by early moralistic storytelling in Buddhist teachings. We were lucky enough to hear Ito reading as part of a group of four Japanese women poets, special guests of the festival. Here, Ito reads with her longtime translator, Jeffrey Angles, from the University of Western Michigan.
This is my first time to Australia, so I came here to see kangaroo. And then since I'm living in California. So California, we are surrounded by eucalyptus trees. And then they are brought to California the end of 19th century, I guess. And now it's really occupied whole California. Especially I'm living in Southern California, and then really only the tree we see, the eucalyptus tree. But here, it's more wild, and I really enjoy it. And then, I was born in Japan, and I grew up in Japan, and then the reason I went to California to live was to see the coyote. And then first of all, I saw only dead one, and then after that, I saw several, you know, the living one. But then coyote was, you know, like, you know, almost like dogs, you know, and then you don't see them so often. But then here, the kangaroos, the first day I thought, you know, on the way, you know, from the airport to my hotel, you know, I saw that the one that who was kind of laying down and like this, and then once I saw it, and then I spotted so many, and then the end of the day, I went to somewhere where it's kind of, you know, Newcastle or something. Yeah. And then I saw 60 of them. And then they're behind my hotel, and then there's that mountain, and then I always get up like 5:30 or 6, and then I go walk, and then I see coyote or parrot. Yeah, anyway, so I really enjoy here. You know, I came here to see kangaroo, okay? Poetry reading. And then this is my translator, Jeffrey Angles, and then he's also a poet, and he started to write poems in Japanese, and then he got a really big prize, which I don't get, okay? So I always tell him, he's reading my stuff, but then this is his translation, this is his poem, so... Let's do.
Okay.
Yes. 最初にコヨーテを知ったのは少年少女をシートン動物記でした。
The first time I ever heard about coyotes was in a book called, in Japanese, Seton's Animals for Boys and Girls.
狼を追うロボ。峰の王者大津の羊の豚の家庭ギザ耳ウサギアライグマでも一番好きだったのは賢いコヨーテの話。
There I encountered Lobo, the wolf king, bighorn sheep, a family of wild boars, cottontail rabbits, and raccoons. But it was the stories of the wise coyote that I loved the best.
散々読み古した。
I read the book over and over and over and over and over.
散々読み古した。シートン動物記からいろんな知恵、ウサギの知恵も狼の知恵も野豚の知恵も教わったけれども、コヨーテの知恵に
It taught me all about the wisdom of rabbits, wolves, wild boars, but nothing surpassed the wisdom of the coyote.
メスコヨーテの血統が人に飼われてつながれっぱなしで人に懐かずいじめられやがて逃げ出し生き抜く知恵を身につけて人と犬から逃れるために子供を加えて必死で走っていった散々散々読み古した
Tito was raised by humans, was kept constantly on a leash. No one loved her. They teased her until she ran away, but she learned to survive, ran for her life with her pups in her mouth, trying to get away from dogs and people. I read about her over and 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 over
and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and over and
There was a map of America in the front of the book with pictures of animals where the stories took place. Coyotes in the Central Plains, wolves in the Southwest and the North. Elsewhere there were cottontails, boars and partridges. During my childhood, that was America to me.
That was America to me. That was America to me. That was America to me. That was America to me. That was America to me. That was America to me.人との関係をなくしかけてそれから言葉もなくしかけたあの散々散々読み古した本もどこにやったかなくしてしまいました
Where did that book go? I no longer live in my childhood home Not even in the same town, not even in the same country I lost my place there I lost people and relationships Almost lost others too I lost my language But what about that book that I read over and 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 over
なくしてしまいましたつい先日の
There's more.
Amazon で検索してみました。英文の原作を出てきました。
Just the other day, I tried searching for it on Amazon.
それで注文してみました。
It popped up right away. I ordered it straight away.
Lives of the Hunted.
Lives of the Hunted.
初版は1967年に出た復刻版が私のところに届けられました。図書館の本でしたが、大きく廃棄本と印が押してありました。図書館でももういらなくなった。その理由は多分残酷すぎるからです。今時の子供には残酷すぎる。
Published first in 1901, reprinted in 1967. It arrived at my home. A former library copy, the word discard stamped on in big letters. Probably the library didn't want it because the stories are too cruel for today's youth.
Too cruel for this today's. Nowadays, こんなご時世、彼らこそ仮想の世界で苦しまれているというのは不思議なことですが、残酷すぎる。
Nowadays, kids are used to killing each other in the virtual world, but even so, the stories are too cruel.
Too cruel. 母コヨーテは授乳して子を舐めているというところを射殺され、これは隠れた穴から一匹また一匹と引きずらされ、こう書いてあります。
A mother coyote was giving her cubs her milk, was licking them when the hunter shot her dead. The cubs fled into her den, only to be dragged out one by one.
こう書いてあります。
This is how the book describes it.Even at this age, there was a certain individuality of character amongst the puppies. Some of them squealed and some of them growled when dragged out to die. One or two tried to bite. The one that had been the slowest to comprehend the danger had been the last to retreat, and so was on top of the pile and therefore the first killed. The one that had first realized the peril had retreated first and now crouched at the bottom of the pile. Coolly and remorselessly, the others were killed one by one, and then this prudent little puppy was the last to be seen of the family. It lay perfectly still. Even when touched, its eyes being half closed as, guided by instinct, it tried to play possum. One of the men picked it up. It neither squealed nor resisted.
泣きも
Neither squealed.
抵抗もしませんでした
Nor resisted.
原作は英文です
The book was in English.
でもつるつる読めば日本語を覚えていたから散々散々読み古してあった
But I could read it quickly since I remember the Japanese. I'd read the book over and over, over and over and over.
散々散々読み古してあった散々散々読み古してあった
Over and over.
そして幼いコヨーテたちはみんな殺された
All the coyote pups were killed.
チトーと名付けられる子だけは生きたまま同胞の死骸と一緒に袋に詰められて牧場に運ばれた原文によればティトーそんなことじゃないかと思っていました
Only one survived, only a single pup tossed with its dead litter mates into a sack and taken to a farm In the original, the hunters named her Tito
チト そんなことじゃないかと思っていました。
That's what I had suspected.
昭和30年代の古い訳音だから、その頃の日本の子供に T が発音できるわけない。それでもそれで育ちました。
I'd read it in an old translation. Kids in Japan back then couldn't be pronouncing to it, couldn't be expected to pronounce the unfamiliar sound T, but that's the version I was brought up on.
コヨーテの名前はいつも私にはチトでした。私はチトでした。
So for me, her name was always Chito. I was always Chito.
I was always Chito. How do you say the coyote? Wow.
You do it. You wrote it.
You are the American? Okay, go ahead. Woo! 覚えてるこの声。子供の頃散々読み古した。そこにはこう書いてあります。
I remember her voice. When I was a child, I read the book over and over and over and over and over.
そこにはこう書いてあります。
So here's how the book describes it. An inborn hankering to sing.
歌は?
Her songs were a volley of short barks mixed with doleful squalls.
連続する短い吠え声と高梨げなわめき声とが混じり合った。
So when the sun went down, she would feel the impulse to sing that wild song of the west, which means so much to coyotes.
Woo,
woo,
woo, woo, woo, woo, woo, woo, woo. 忘れてたのは由々しきこと。だから嫌なんだ。年取るっていうことはこんな大切なことを忘れる。
I'm not sure if I remember the Japanese correctly. Getting old is no fun at all. You forget all these important things.
答えのあるいは今現在の発明ではなく、すべての時代のすべての雇用での思いを積み重ねてきたものを表現すると、いつ何時でも危険が近づいたときは低くなる、静かにする、注意を引くには何もしないは、子供の頃を覚えた一番大切なこと、知との一致、生き抜くための、そして思い出して、なぜ私がアメリカというところに渡ってきたのか。
It's not the invention of an individual nor the present, but it was slowly built out of the feelings of the coyotes in all ages. Her experiences all emphasized for her that the old idea to lay low, that is, to be quiet, unobtrusive, and hide when danger is in sight. Those were the most important things I learned as a child. That was Tito's wisdom, how to survive. Seeing the book, I remembered why I came to this place called America.
How to survive.
How to survive.
なくしたばかりか。忘れていたなんて、散々読み古した本に書いてありました。動物たちの運命を生き死にを。
The most important things I learned in a child were in that book I read over and over. Maybe I just forgotten them for a while, or forgotten the fate of animals, their lives, and their deaths.
動物たちの運命を生き死にを。
Their lives and their deaths.
動物たちの運命をそして生き死にを。
The fate of the animals, their lives, and their deaths.
平原の生き方をそして。
Their lives upon the plains.
私自身を。
And my life too.
地頭を。地頭は殺されても。殺されても蘇ってきた。それを人々は執念深く執拗にこれし返した。それで地頭はまた騙したり騙されたり、うんこをまき散らしたり、浴場したり。
Chito was killed over and over again, but each time she came back to life. The humans tenaciously, persistently killed her. She tricked them and was tricked by them in return. She scattered her feces, went into heat. The more they hunted her, the more clearly things came into focus. Not the invention of an individual nor the present, but slowly built out of the feelings of all coyotes in all ages. It was for Chito, for Chito.
Chito.それはチトーの、つまりチトーの、すべての時代のすべてのコヨーテ、すべてのチトーの、それはチトーの、それは私の。
Not the invention of an individual nor the present, but slowly built out of the feelings of all coyotes in all ages. It was for Chito, it was for Chito, for Chito.
それは私の。
That was for me?
思いを積み重ねきたものが明瞭になっていってチトーに。チトーに、チトーに、私に。
It was for that that I abandoned my home, bought an airline ticket for Chito, for Chito, for Chito,
Chito,
and for
me. 家を捨てて飛行機の切符を買いここに来ました、匂いを嗅いだことがある程度の人がいて、その匂いをたどってやってきた、部屋を見つけて車を借りてビザなしでいられるいっぱいの3ヶ月間ここで暮らそうと思った、なぜ来たと人に聞かれるからこういうつもりでした。私は詩人です。アメリカ原住民の交渉史を知りたくて来たんです。それは本当でした、それは本当でした、それは本当でした。
There was someone I barely knew. I'd only just barely caught his scent, but still I followed my nose and pursued him. I found a room, rented a car, and stayed the full 3 months permitted without a visa. I thought I'd try to stay. And when people asked me why I'd come, I said, I'm a poet. I've come to learn about the oral traditions of the Native Americans, and that was true.
That was true.
That was true.
でも何を知りたいのかも知らなかった、どこに行けばいいのかも知らなかった、誰に会えばいいのかも知らなかった。人と喋るのは実はいつも苦手でした。日本語でも苦手なんだから英語ではまるで不可能。私が誰かってことさえ語れはしない。日本語でも数十年かかったのに。
But I didn't even know what I wanted to know. I didn't even know where I wanted to go. I didn't even know where I wanted to ask. I was terrible at speaking to people in my native tongue. So in English, it was damn near impossible. Couldn't even tell them who I am. It took me decades even to be able to say that in Japanese.
本当はコヨーテに出会おうと思った。
But the real reason I came was because I wanted to encounter a coyote.
そしてその呼び声を。
I wanted to prick up my ears and listen to its howl.
耳を澄ませて。
Prick up my ears.
聞こうと思った。
And listen.
Thank you. You know, I made up something during our session, so he follows me.
yeah, she doesn't follow what's on the page at all.
Very abusing him.
But it's fun. It's like jazz, you know?
あなたは...
Oh, ちょっと待って。Hold on.
あなたは日本語が話せますか?
Hey, can you speak Japanese? No, I can't.
はい、話せます。
Yes, I can.
はい、話せますけど読めません。
Yes, I can, but I cannot read.
あなたは日本語が話せますか?いいえ、話せません。はい、話せます。はい、話せますけど読めません。はい、話せて読めますけど書けません。はい、話せて読めて書けますけど聞き取れません。
Can you speak Japanese? No, I cannot speak.Yes, I can speak. Yes, I can speak, but I cannot read. I can speak and read, but I cannot write. Yes, I can speak and write, but I cannot understand.
私は良い子でした。あなたは良い子でした。私たちは良い子でした。それは良い。
I was a good child. You were a good child. We were good children. That is good.
私は悪い子でした。あなたは悪い子でした。私たちは悪い子でした。それは悪い。
I was a bad child. You were a bad child. We were bad children. That's bad.
言葉の習得のためには痴漢し反復しなければならない。
To learn a language, you must replace and repeat.
私は醜い子でした。あなたは醜い子でした。私たちは醜い子でした。それは醜い。
I was an ugly child. You were an ugly child. We were ugly children. That's ugly.
私は退屈です。あなたは退屈です。私たちは退屈です。Mm-hmm. それは
退屈だ。退屈。Mm. I am bored. You are bored. We are bored. That's boring.
私は憎い。あなたは憎い。私たちは憎い。それは憎しみだ。
I'm hateful. You're hateful. We're hateful. That is hateful.
私は食べる。あなたも食べる。それは私たちは食べる。それは良い食欲だ。
I will eat. You will eat. We will eat. That is having a good appetite.
私は食べない。あなたは食べない。私たちは食べない。それは悪い食欲だ。
I won't eat. You won't eat. We won't eat. That is a bad appetite.
私は意味する。あなたは意味する。私たちは意味する。それは言葉の伝達だ。
I will make meaning, you will make meaning, we will make meaning, that is conveying language.
私は日本語を使う、あなたは日本語を使う、私たちは日本語を使う、それは日本語だ。
I will use Japanese, you will use Japanese, we will use Japanese, that's Japanese.
私は意味を剥がし取りたい、あなたは意味を剥がし取りたい、私たちは意味を剥がし取りたい、それは意味を剥がし取る欲望だ。
I want to rip off meaning, you want to rip off meaning, we want to rip off meaning. That is the desire to rip off meaning.
私はいっそ言葉をただの素材に貶めたい、あなたはいっそ言葉をただの素材に貶めたい、私たちはいっそ言葉をただの素材に貶めたい、それはいっそ言葉はただの素材だ。
I want to show contempt for language is nothing more than a raw material. You want to show contempt for language is nothing more than a raw material. We want to show contempt for language is nothing more than a raw material. That is, language is nothing more than raw material.
私は機械的に近してって現実にありえない文を作る。あなたは機械的に近していって現実にありえない文を作る。私たちは機械的に近していって現実にありえない文を作る。それは機械的に近していって現
I will replace words mechanically and make sentences impossible in real life. You will replace words mechanically and make sentences impossible in real life. We will make replace words mechanically and make sentences impossible in real life. That is replacing words mechanically and making sentences impossible in real life.
意味を剥がす。
Rip off meaning.
音が残る。
Sound remains.
それでも私たちは意味を探る。
Even so, we search for meaning.
指を差し出せばそれを吸う新生児の原始反射。
That is the primitive reflex of a newborn sucking a finger one sticks out.
私は指を差し出せばそれを吸う新生児の原始反射です。
The primitive reflex of a newborn sucking a finger, I stick out.
あなたは指を差し出せばそれを吸う新生児の原始反射です。
The primitive reflex of a newborn sucking a finger, you stick out.
私たちは指を差し出せばそれを吸う新生児の原始反射です。
The primitive reflex of a newborn sucking a finger, we stick out.
新生児のそれは指を差し出せば吸う原始反射だ。
The primitive reflex of a newborn sucking a finger, that sticks out.
私は意味が。
As for me, meaning.
あなたは意味が。
As for you, meaning.
私たちは意味が。
Meaning,
意味だ、それは伝達だ。
That is.
伝達するな。
Do not communicate.
私は伝達するな。
Me, do not communicate.
あなたは伝達するな。
You do not communicate.
私たちは伝達するな。
As for us, do not communicate.
伝達だ。
Do not do that. That is communication.
切り裂かれて血まみれの意味はきっと惨めで嬉しい。
Meaning ripped apart and covered in blood is surely miserable. That is happiness.
私は血まみれの意味は惨めで嬉しい。
I am happy meaning covered in blood is miserable.
あなたは血まみれの意味は惨めで嬉しい。
You are happy meaning covered in blood is miserable. We are happy meaning covered in blood is miserable. The blood covered meaning of that is blood covered misery.
And
that is happiness.
My daughter's name is Kanoko. And I'm going to read a poem called The Kanoko Killing. And she's still alive. And then, so, you know, okay, don't worry about that. And she also got the two children, and so I'm the grandmother. And then I really didn't read this poem, you know, for a long time. And then after she got her own baby, I started to read it again. Something is very kind of, you know, getting real. Because killing a, you know, baby, that kind of theme. I wrote it when I was 28 or something like that. The first part, you know, you should read it.
I should read it?
Until to you, you know.
Okay. Look, a leg. To figure out the size of a fetus, it's best to look at one of the limbs. Here, it's about 15 weeks. It's about 3 inches big, a wrenched off thigh, knee, calf, and foot crowned with 5 toes. Twice a week, one of them comes out alive. Look, here on this floor, all the women are trying to deal somehow with their feelings and about getting an abortion, and we hear the baby crying.
というような本を読んでいると妹がこの間ガキンチョを下ろしたと言いました。
I was reading this in a book when my little sister said, the other day I disposed of that little brat.
妹の声でガキンチョを下ろしてガキンチョを下ろされた。
That's what she said, her own words, disposed of that little brat.
おめでとうございます。
That little brat was disposed of. Congratulations.
おめでとうございます。
Congratulations. おめでとうございます。Congratulations. Congratulations.
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 彼の子は下ろされませんでした。ひろいちゃんやったことがあるかと妹が言うのであると答えました。でもガキンチョを下ろすというのは私の声ではありません。ガキンチョを下ろされませんでした。私はカノコによく似たはずの胎児の妊娠を中絶したわけです。カノコによく似たはずの胎児は成長して、カノコによく似たはずの成長を私は得られたかもしれませんが、それはカノコのことではない。
カノコ was not disposed of. Have you ever done that, Hidomi-chan? Asked my little sister, so I told her, yes.But saying disposed of that little brat was not in my vocabulary. Kanako was not disposed of. I aborted an embryo that must have looked just like Kanako. The embryo that must have looked, that would have grown, would have looked just like Kanako. I might have had a fetus that looked just like Kanako, but it would not have been
her. Kanako.滅ぼしておめでとうございます。滅ぼしておめでとうございます。
滅ぼしておめでとうございます。
滅ぼしておめでとうございます。滅ぼしておめでとうございます。私は走破による妊娠中絶したことがあります。
I've had an abortion using curettage.
滅ぼしておめでとうございます。
Congratulations on your destruction.
あなたの赤ちゃんは大きかったからお乳が出ますよと医者は言った。
The doctor told me your baby was so big, so expect your breast to swell.I didn't know how to respond other than to smile nervously, smile nervously, smile nervously, smile nervously, nervously, nervously.
でもおめでとうございます。本当にお乳はできました。強くひねると白い液がにじむ程度で、乳房は張らないし、痒くもなんともない。
My breasts did really swell, so much so that a good twist would make white liquid dribble out. My breasts do not swell, they do not itch or anything. 乳
房は張らないし、痒くもなんともない、可愛くもなんともない。おめでとうございます。
Congratulations.
おめでとうございます。
Congratulations.
何せお乳が出るってことはめでたい。
In any event, it is a joyous thing for milk to come out.
何もなかったところから飲めて甘みもあるものが湧くんですもの。それを飲めば太れるんですもの。お金を出して買う牛乳と同じようなものを私が分泌するんですもの。
It is a joyous thing for milk to come out, for sweet, something sweet to spill forth from a place that previously had nothing.
Drink it up
and you will grow plump. For me to secrete something, for me to secrete something, like the cow's milk that you buy.
みたいに分泌するんですもの。
Yeah, for me to secrete something.
唾や涙や織物みたいに分泌するんですもの。
I secrete it like urine. I secrete it like saliva, tears, or vaginal discharge.
口からおびただしい乳が湧いて出てくるんですもの。嬉しくなって楽しくなって。
The milk spills out in large quantities. I become happy. I become pleased.Congratulations. Congratulations. Congratulations. Congratulations.
私は妊娠中期に中絶したことがあります。
I had an abortion in the second trimester.
赤ちゃんが男でしたか女でしたか尋ねたのですが、赤ちゃんがという言い方で嘘をついています。
I asked that the baby was a boy or a girl, but it is a lie to call it a baby.
胎児がと言わなければいけない。
I should have called it a fetus.
当然男か女か教えないことになっています。
But of course they won't say if it's a boy or a girl because the shock is too great
in
the maternal body.
母体は考える、彼の子に似た男の胎児か続けて。
The maternal body wonders, was it a male, female fetus that looked like Kanako? Was it a male fetus that looked like Kanako?
妊娠中です。
I have had toxemia of pregnancy.
I have had a molar pregnancy. I saw all the lumps filling my uterus.
They must have also looked like Kanako. I've had uterine cancer. I've had a radical hysterectomy. I have had a child. I have had induced labor because of sluggish contractions. I have had an episiotomy. I've had a pleasant pregnancy.
My uterus filled up with blood. My body filled with blood.
I could overeat as much as I wanted. I wanted to think about childbirth. When I used to think about childbirth, I could masturbate endlessly. I would imagine the approaching moment of birth, the pleasant movements of the expectant mother's fingers. I have also breastfed before. Congratulations on your destruction. Congratulations on your destruction. After 6 months, Kanako's teeth came in. She bites my nipples. She wants to bite my nipples off. She's always looking for the right moment to do so. Kanako eats my time. Kanako pilfers my nutrients. Kanako threatens my appetite. Kanako pulls on my hair. Kanako forces me to deal with all her shit. I want to get rid of Kanako. I want to get rid of filthy little Kanako. I want to get rid of filthy little Kanako who bites off my nipples. I want to get rid of kill Kanako before she spills my blood. I have committed infanticide. I've disposed of dead bodies. It's easier if you do it right after giving birth. It's easier than an abortion if you don't get found out. I have all the confidence to do it without being discovered. I can bury any number of Kanakos. Congratulations on burying Kanako. Congratulations. The intercourse I've got to have, the many Kanakos I have to conceive, the many Kanakos I've got to weed out, except for one,
and that is
Kanako that exists now, the one who wants to bite off my nipples. Congratulations on your destruction. 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 Congratulations on your destruction.
悲しいママ子の折檻.
Cheerfully punishing a child, a stepchild.
悲しいママ子殺し.
Cheerfully killing a stepchild.
私はしたことがあります.
I've done it before.
自分の子の方が可愛い.
My own child is dearer to me.
楽しい子捨て.
Cheerfully abandoning a child.
私はしたことがあります.
I have done it before. My own self is dearer to me.
自分の方が可愛い.
My own self is dearer to me. My own self is dearer to me. Congratulations. Congratulations on your destruction. Everyone celebrates for me. Genichiro with his medoc, Higuchi-san with his roses, Kohei-san with his rabbit, Ishizeki-san with her teddy bear, Miyashita-san with his diaper bag, Shiroyasu-san with his paper mache dog, Abe-san and Iwasaki-san with her cash, Non-chan with her cake, Kanako-san with her 8mm camera, Kozaki-san with her telegram. Everyone celebrates for me. Everyone celebrates for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Happy Kanako is biting off my nipples. Congratulations. Gleefully, I would like to get rid of Kanako. Without melancholy, without guilt, I want to get rid of Kanako having fun in Tokyo. Congratulations on your destruction. Congratulations on your destruction. Congratulations on your destruction. Congratulations on your destruction. Teruko-chan, congratulations on your abortion. Mihoko-chan, congratulations on your abortion. Kumiko-san, congratulations on your abortion. Congratulations on killing Tomo-kun. Mari-san, how about getting rid of Nonoho-chan? Mayumi-san, was the fetus a boy or a girl? Riko-chan, it's about time to get rid of Kota-kun. Let's all get rid of them together. Let's get rid of them all together. All of the daughters, all of the sons who rattle their teeth, wanting to bite off our nipples.
Thank you so much.
That was Hiromi Ito reading with the expert assistance of her translator and collaborator, Jeffrey Engels. Melinda Smith had a chance to talk to Hiromi Ito while she was in Canberra about the work Ito had collected in Poet to Poet, a new bilingual anthology of Japanese women's poetry released to coincide with her visit to the Poetry on the Move Festival.
So welcome to Canberra and welcome to the University of Canberra.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I'd like to focus mostly on the poems of yours that are in the Poet to Poet bilingual anthology that's being launched later this evening at the festival. You have three poems in that anthology, and they are Yakisoba, Father's Uterus or a Single Map, and Eel and Catfish. And they're all translated by Professor Jeffrey Engels. And the poems that has been chosen for the anthology give a really good overview of some of your main themes as a poet, things like patriarchy or the female experience and the experience of being a member of, I suppose, what you would call the Japanese diaspora, people who are born in Japan and live outside Japan, and also using folk tales and mysticism and spirituality in the poems as well. Your style is strongly influenced by a Buddhist oral tradition of narrative performances. Sekkyo Bushi is the Japanese name for that. And you have made that influence quite explicit in poems based on those documents.
But,
you know,
this poem doesn't have that at all.
No.
Yeah, some other poem.
But it has the kind of repetitive sections in it, a refrain.
Yeah.
And one other thing that you've said is that Ginsberg's poem Howl and Ginsberg's poem
What is Infant?
Kaddish.
Yes, a Jewish one. Yeah,
for you.
Yeah.
And I can feel with the refrain, whether it's Sekkyo Bushi or whether it's Ginsberg or whether it's coming from another place, the repetitive and the power that comes from layer upon layer of repetition is amazing in that poem. I want to know, when you write a poem, how do you decide what's going to be the repeated bit? What bit is going to be the refrain that comes back and back and back? Do you have a process to decide that? Or
I don't know. When I'm writing, I'm some other stage. And then I don't know. So, you know, the paste, you know, the highlights.
Yeah.
And then copy it and then paste and paste and paste and paste.
And
so my body is moving with my fingers. And then, that kind of movement or repetition, how do you say?
Repetition.
Repetition takes me to some other place. Yeah, that's certainly sure. So more kind of doing it and then some kind of power is kind of started to grow. It's called, the Japanese tradition, it's called Kotodama, means the spirits of words.
Of words,
yeah.
Spirit of words.
That makes everything.
And those of you listening can't see it, but as she's explaining this to me, Hiromi is explaining it with her body as well as with her words. And I think that it's really important to understand it as a kind of embodied power and an embodied poetics. So another thing in the poem Father's Uterus, you can read it as a very strong feminist poem, a feminist statement, because in the poem you're moving through a place and there are men claiming everything. They're saying, that's my father's, that's my father's,
yeah.
It's their inheritance, their lineage.
Yeah.
And in the second part of the poem, there is a map, but when you open the map, it's in a language you can't understand and your father is everywhere on the map standing up, taking place, taking up space. So that feels like it comes from inside the experience of being a woman in a world where everything has been claimed by men.
Not really, actually.
Not really? Okay,
know?
Good. That's
When I wrote it, it's much more artificial, you know, because this is kind of projects of the kind of, how do you call it, collaboration with the very, very famous, very good, and I really respect her, you know, a sociologist, and she is a feminist, very famous feminist in Japan. And, and then we've been working together, so she gave me the theme, and I wrote poem, and she explained about that. So that kind of collaboration. And then she gave me men or father or uterus or something. I forgot.
And but you made what you wanted to make.
This is
from
actually
that.
Based on my real experience. I went to in Poland. I lived in Poland for a while. And then a kind of medical school. So my friend took me to the medical school, and there are so many, you know, the glass jars and so many stuff. And then I was with my friend, the male, and then my ex-husband, male.
Uh-huh.
And then the place we were there was my friend's father was working, and then I actually quoted from Kafka.
I did not spot that.
So it's very kind of artificial, you know, some literature comes and my experience or my kind of own private feeling towards my ex-husband or my friend or something like that. Literature is always, we make something based on some little, very little pit, which is real. And then we make fiction.
Grow a whole thing around it. In your poems, sometimes you use pieces of English in the Japanese text of your poems.
Yeah.
So the poem Yakisoba, even though that's a Japanese word and it just means, you know, fried buckwheat noodles, for people who are looking at the anthology, you'll see that the title is written in English, Letters Yakisoba. And there are passages in that poem where the speaker, well, there's two speakers in the poem, I suppose, but the woman calling out from the shop moves between English and Japanese.
Yeah, that is not English. That is not a Japanese.
Yeah,
it's called the pidgin
English
Japanese. Yeah, and I've been so interested in because I'm almost like a Japanese American, not really true Japanese. So then I moved to California after I already established myself as a poet. Mm. So my language is Japanese, and then I don't want to lose it. Mm-hmm. But then I have to see my daughters. I brought them to California, and their language, which is Japanese, are kind of grasping, and my own language is kind of, you know, getting strange or crooked or grasping or disappearing, and then it's so sad for me. But, you know, meantime, very interesting. All the destruction is so fun.
In order to build, we must first destroy.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. I mean, I love in that poem, it's very seamless the way that the language switching happens. And you've written what are English words, but you've written them in the Japanese hiragana script. So the first time you read it through, you're like, hang on, that doesn't read like a Japanese word. And you have to read it to yourself and listen to the sound to realize it's an English word written in Japanese script. So you have like good source ga included, good source is included as one of those sentences. And in the poem, there's a woman standing outside a shop calling out to potential customers saying, come and try our stuff, it's really great. And the speaker in the poem realizes that the ideal customer for this woman is a lot like the woman herself. She's of a certain age. She spent the first part of her life in Japan, but she's been gone for many years. And she speaks to her children in Japanese and they speak back in English. And then kind of halfway through the poem, the voice in the poem realizes that they themselves are the ideal customer. So what I want to ask you is, maybe for a poem like Yakisoba, is the ideal reader someone who is bilingual in Japanese, in English?
Yeah, that's the kind of ideal. But then not many people, in my state, they don't read poetry. So I don't know. I never thought about my readers. Hmm. I'm also doing some other things besides poetry, and I've been answering people's question on life, every week in the newspaper. So I've been answering people, and then I kind of, focused my readers, and I've been writing about child rearing, women issues, and then I've been focusing my readers, women or tired women or sick girls and so on. Mm-hmm. But then poetry, of course people are sick when they, the people who wants to read poetry, they're all sick.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And the people who wants to write the poetry also sick. But then sick people, I don't particularly focus on who.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, people who are in my same stage, living somehow in California or somehow in Japan and having a bilingual situation. Not many people, actually.
That's interesting.
I just want to destroy Japanese.
Yeah.
So put some
English
word or it really helps it.
Yeah, I think it makes for a really interesting texture in the poem.
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous. One final question. You have a very good relationship with the person who's translated your poems for this anthology, Professor Jeffrey Angles from Western Michigan University. And he's also here at the festival. And you often perform together.
Oh, yeah.
And YouTube is full of clips of you performing together, performing your poems together. So I had just a couple of questions. How did you meet Professor Angles, and how did you decide to trust him, or that you could trust him to be your translator?
I don't know. The first time Jeffrey came to San Diego, where I live, and then he said he wants to translate my stuff. And he's a young boy, not boy, but then a man,
a young man.
And then my stuff is full of menstruation or, you know, breasts or breastfeeding or that kind of women's, you know, kind of physiological issues. And then how this young man can understand that. But then after he translated, it's wonderful. And then now we've been really good friends for years. He knows my English. So he translates somehow like a, like just like I speak. I actually can read his translation. Otherwise, other people's translation is too difficult for me to read, even in, you know, English. So, but his translation is readable for me.
That's
because
right.
he uses my
He uses your English, to build the English of the translation.
I'm so lucky having that kind of translator. And he started to write poetry in Japanese.
As a result of the interchange with Japanese poets, including myself.
I'm very, really happy. You know, maybe I influenced some to him, and then I got a lot of, you know, good stuff from him.
It seems like a really productive professional and kind of poetic.
Also, you know, I'm living in California and then very rather lonely. It's not many people, you know, my friend speak in Japanese. He is the only person. Sometimes I call him and talking in Japanese and laughing in Japanese. And so it's kind of very important for me.
A big, big thank you to Ito Hiromi-san for giving us her time today and for participating in this festival and coming all this way to share her poetry with us. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Melinda.
Thank you.
That was Hiromi Ito talking with Melinda Smith. Poet to Poet, Contemporary Women's Poetry from Japan, edited by Rena Kikuchi and Jen Crawford, is published by Recent Work Press. This has been Poetry on the Move. I'd like to thank our guests, Hiromi Ito and Jeffrey Angles, and thanks to Melinda Smith. This podcast is made possible by IPSI, the International Poetry Studies Institute, and the Centre for Creative and Cultural Research, Faculty of Arts and Design at the University of Canberra. Thanks for listening.